We didn't either. We actually had on Friday one of our coworkers and good friends. She's getting married, and so it was like a bridal bachelorette, whatever, dinner. Mm-hmm. So we both were in the team in spirit.
And they went to the parade.
But yeah, so it was
pretty cool. They went all out on those Disney clothes, and I didn't realize they would also be singing Disney songs and dancing in the street. So it was like a full-on High School Musical, kind of.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, people, yes. It's definitely like the very much like small town feel here. Mm-hmm. Like I don't live in Friendswood. I live in Pearland actually, but I've never heard of like a 4th of July parade being as involved as the one is here. Apparently, like, it's like a huge, huge deal. Yes. And it's like the longest standing parade. Okay. I'm going to say something wrong, which is won't be the first time, but I think it's like the longest standing parade or 4th of July parade. We'll say in the world.
No, I mean, I don't know of another 4th of July parade. So I believe that.
That's yeah. Funny. Yeah. So do you live in Friendswood?
I do not. We live in Lake City.
You live in Lake City. Okay. So none of us are actually in Friendswood because Sophia is in Houston. So, but we all have our ties here still at the end of the day. Yeah.
Would love to live
in
Friendswood.
I still bleed a little bit blue. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I interviewed for my original position here. So I went through two rounds. First was with Dana, who was our executive director of communication and then our head of HR at the time. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was the second round and it was just with Thad. Well, that it was very informal. Like I was the only one who went on to that. They knew they were going to offer me. And I remember him asking, okay, so since you didn't grow up in Friendswood, how are you going to get plugged in? I was like, I grew up right down the road in Alvin. You know, he's like, it's different.
It's not Friendswood.
I'll do X, Y, and Z. I'll get plugged in. I promise you. But it is definitely, I remember going to the first football game here and being so taken aback by the amount of just like community members who are at the game and how everyone is in like Mustang blue, of course, as they call it. You know, like it's definitely a sense of pride here.
Yes, it is.
That's a little different than other places for sure.
I think it's so great though. Like the amount of things that are just exclusive to Friendswood, the fact that like it has its own little museum.
There's a few little museums here actually. Yeah that are very cool. So sweet. I know.
It is.
I know. Well, with all of that said, welcome to season 4, episode 6 of Friendswood ISD's The Podcast with Kelsey Goals
and Sophia Armentor.
We're excited to have you join us today as we dive into all things FISD, share updates, stories, and insights from around our district. Whether you're a student, parent, teacher, or community member, we are so glad you're tuning in. Today, we are joined by the one and only principal of Westwood Elementary, Miss Andy Hull.
Yay!
Welcome. We're excited. Thank you. Yeah, we kind of asked you a little bit at the last minute. We had this idea of talking about what we'll get into with a time capsule, but thank you for being flexible and being willing to come on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just a little bit of background information. If you don't follow us on social media or haven't seen anything, there was a time capsule that was buried at Westwood in 1994 by Cindy Young. And did I hear that she was actually a long-term sub that year?
That is what I was told.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was a teacher, I guess, at some point at Westwood, but that year in particular, she was a long-term sub. Mm-hmm. And she had students in the challenge program that they decided they were going to do this time capsule and they were going to bury it. And we actually learned on Saturday, whenever it was opened, that she had suggested 25 years, but the kids said 30 because they thought it would sound really cool if they opened it when they were 40 years old.
Yes. 40 years old sounded like the perfect year to them.
I mean,
which was funny.
It was so funny. I know. I bet they're regretting that now. Exposing their age. Mm-hmm. But we had it on Saturday. It was in the Outdoor Learning Center at Westwood, which I will say, and I've said it, I feel like a million times, is my favorite space in the entire district. I love the Outdoor Learning Center.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful day. And y'all had everything kind of set up on the stage. And I mean, just did a great job. Everything went so smoothly. we were under the trees and had a great turnout. You had your Westwood, so cute, the Westwood Spirit Squad, which they're like little cheerleaders. Uh-huh. And then
super cute.
I know the Westwood second grade choir performed. Mm-hmm. They did song. Amazing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of like their parents and grandparents came to support. And then we had actually students, I think it was 9 ended up being the total from that 1994 class came. Mm-hmm. And Miss Young came back to open the content, see what was inside the time capsule. Mm-hmm. So just, that's a little background on that. But it was like, it brought all these generations together, which was super cool. What'd you think about the day?
I thought it was really great. That was actually one of the things that we were aiming for, is to have the past of Westwood highlighted at the time capsule piece, and then bridge it with the present Westwood with our kid.
Yeah.
Our kiddo groups coming and performing, which was pretty cool. So
it was super sweet. Mm-hmm. And so Miss Pat, okay, let me hope that I'm saying her last name right. Torfranca.
Yes.
She is one of our amazing museum volunteers. Mm-hmm. She was the one who kind of reached out initially with, hey, this is something that is in our museum, and we're now at the point where this time capsule would be opened. It says open in 2024.
Right.
And y'all met and kind of made this all happen.
Yes.
Yes.
We did. It was pretty cool.
It was really cool. So, I guess, can you just first start by sharing too some of your thoughts about just the importance of this time capsule project and what made it such a unique way to kind of bridge that past and present of Westwood?
Well, so whenever Miss Pat reached out about the time capsule, we were super excited because that was a totally different time. Westwood at that point was a 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade campus before they built Bales.
I did not even realize. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So, and I think that was either the last year that it was 3rd, 4th, and 5th, or the following year was the last year. It was 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And then Bales came along and Westwood turned into an early childhood campus going up to 2nd grade. And so when we met with Miss Pat about the time capsule piece, we were really trying to figure out the best time to do that, and decided that homecoming week would be perfect because there would be lots of people in town. And we thought that this was the coolest thing ever to be able to be part of the past, which spoke to me because that's close to my age range, and just kind of highlight that really cool class that did that. That was actually a year round class, that challenge class. They went year round. And so I think it was originally supposed to be opened in June was the goal. And then nobody was there. So we decided to wait a little bit and give everybody a chance to get there.
Well, I think the decision, I mean, outside of just like good timing with homecoming and people being in town, the decision to wait and not do it in the heat of the Texas summer is probably, I think we struggle with that with under the yokes a little bit, but
and to wait till I came on board too. I'm glad y'all waited till the fall. That was
good.
Pretty cool. Well, I guess I'll get into what exactly was in the time capsule, because I'm curious. I saw a couple of the items online on social media, but.
So it was really neat to see. The first thing that came out was an Ace of Base cassette single of Don't Turn Around. And I will admit that on my way home that day, I pulled it up on Spotify and sang my little heart out because I remember that song so vividly.
And again, bridging the past with the present, right?
Yep.
Cassette to Spotify.
Spotify.
I know, right? There were a few VHS tapes that were recordings of that class or a field trip. One was an interview, I think, that they did with a parent or a community member. And then there were newspaper articles and magazines that they thought were really relevant to them. There was like a Learn 90 or something like that catalog or magazine. Anyway, it was really cool. There was one, I'll call her a kid because she was a kid when she did it, who put in several dental tools because her dad was a dentist and she wanted to see the difference in dental tools then versus dental tools in the future.
Is really there much cool. change?
No.
No. Oh, not at yeah. all. She's like, no. these are the same.
As They're the exact same dental tools. Exact same dental tools. But yeah, it was really, really interesting. There were lots of letters and
yep.
there were some scholar dollars from a class, which was kind of fun.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, there was some water damage that... Which happens, right? You know, yes. things get buried under the ground and maybe it's not sealed quite as well as you think or hope. Mm-hmm. And it was under there for 30 years. We've experienced a few mm-hmm. hurricanes since then. Yes. But it was still really neat, I think, to just watch mm-hmm. their reactions and like maybe some of those memories come back. Yeah. And in particular too, Miss Young, she spoke at the beginning yes. before opening mm-hmm. and just kind of neat to say like, time capsules were all the hype, I guess, at that time, mm-hmm. but you don't actually see that many followed through on, like actually opened.
Right.
So it was neat for them just to be able to relive. And they're trying to look at like, who put this in there uh-huh. and seeing all these old names. And yeah. I remember so-and-so. It was just yeah. super, super sweet.
It was really neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was it like from your perspective, getting to witness their reactions to some of those items?
You know, I think about, just finding things from my own childhood, right? Like I have two giant New Kids on the Block pins, right? That they're like the size of your head that I found in a box, a couple of years ago when I was digging through some things and it was just, you know, it brings back all of those memories of whenever you were a kid and thinking about who you were with. And I think that's exactly what I saw them doing. And they were back being kids and thinking about all of the things that they had put in. And, you know, I heard, do you remember this? Do you remember this? And mm-hmm. they were remembering about things that they had said and done as kids whenever they were together. And so it was really neat to see them as adults coming together and remembering their childhood, which was a really special thing for them. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
How many, like how big was the group of kids? Well, I guess they're adults now, but how big was that group? And was it the almost the same amount that got to come back? Or was it only a few people that are still in Friendswood?
So it wasn't a large group of kids because it was a challenge group and it was a year-round group. So it listed in the picture, it looked probably maybe 12 to 15 kids. Yep. And we had about 9 that came back.
Which I thought was an mm-hmm. excellent turnout.
Yes,
truly.
It was.
Yeah, that's more than half, man.
Yeah.
That's Friendswood though.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, like thinking through like why they chose, like, why do you think they chose certain things that were put into that time capsule?
It was really, they were talking about it. And so some of them couldn't remember why they put things in there. Like some of the magazines that they had put in. I think there was even a Boy's Life magazine or something like that. But they, the videotapes were important to them because yep. they were recordings of their class. The person who pulled out the cassette tape was like, oh my gosh, I played this over and over in my car.
Aww.
And, you know, so I think that they put things in there that they thought was that would represent them as Friendswood kids at that time. And then to see what it was going to change and look like in Friendswood later on. So I think that, you know, that's where they were going. I feel like they put things in there that they thought were going to represent the future as well as represent them as kids. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a cool idea.
And did you mm-hmm. also grow up in the 90s era? Did you relate to some of those things? I know you said the song.
I did. I did relate to some of those things. I'm not going to tell my age. But
Nor would we ever expect that. Nor would we. Sophia, Miss 26-year-old, stand down.
Well, I was born in the 90s, too.
Stand down. But.
Born in the 90s and grew up in the 90s are two very different things.
This is true. This is true. I'm reminded of this a lot.
Yes. Yes. But yes. Yeah. Some of those things were things that I remember very vividly growing up too. I had a whole VHS collection that I got rid of not too long ago after I did not have a VHS player for quite some time. So
yes.
Just in case I got a new one, I kept them.
Have you gotten a new one?
No. Okay. I finally gave them away.
Cleaning out that closet.
Yep. Yep, I did.
Well, I remember, so a couple of things stood out to me. One, there was a, I believe it was the Friendswood Reporter newspaper, mm-hmm. and the headline was that the voter turnout was low. And yes. it was just so funny that it was like election season. And again, here we are, we're in election season. Yeah. So that was kind of a neat
it was.
Thing to see.
It was. It was really funny when they pulled out and that was the headline. And
I know.
And I was reading, I was like, wait a minute, this is right now.
Yes. And yes. I think they like flipped through because that was one of the ones that was like there was very little, if any, water damage to mm-hmm. it. So they were able to flip through it a little bit more. And they're like, go to the ads, go to the,
yes.
and there was a Suburban listed on there. Uh-huh. So it was 1994, right? That they put these things in there. Mm-hmm. So it was a 1994 paper. There was an ad for an 89 Suburban.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many miles was on. I don't know if they said
it
that.
Was
I
missed one.
It. Yeah. It was a used one.
It was.
But it was still, it was a Suburban. It was listed for like $9,000.
It was. And there was one for a brand new Toyota truck
uh-huh.
for $12,000.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
Excuse me. Can we go back to that?
Right?
I know.
I might have multiple cars yeah. if they were still that.
I think it was at Star Toyota,
expensive.
Actually.
Oh yeah. my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the salaries back then may have been like $3 a year. So mm-hmm. it would be, you know, but still, you know, yeah. the prices were like, mm-hmm. it was just cool to even see stuff like that.
It was.
And then there was a Rockets cup and that was like height, like peak Rockets success, right? That
yes.
time, that era.
Yeah. There was the joke that those were the years that they won. But yeah.
Yeah. How are we doing now?
Nobody. I know. I was curious what the fans, what the people that were yeah. there thought of the Rockets now.
Yeah. It was really funny.
Aren't as good the guy, as they used to be.
The guy who put it in, I think, is the one who pulled it out. And he was like, oh, I remember this. This is when they were winning. Yeah. He's like, yep, okay.
And then a tear slowly made its way yes. down his cheek. I love it. Yeah. No, my husband is like, I mean, he's such a sports guy, mm-hmm. big fan of all things. And he is always like going to root for the hometown team. And so, he went to the University of Texas. So he is, we're big Longhorns and, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Welcome. But we are big
Rec-em-tech.
We're big Longhorns. And so he actually like, he's such a believer in his teams. Like it doesn't matter like how bad they're doing. Now Longhorns are doing great, mm-hmm. right? Fortunately, we had a loss last week. We're not wanting to talk about, but he firmly believes with all of his heart we will win the national championship this year. And then the Texans is the same way. He's 100% like has put money on it. Mm-hmm. Like Texans are winning the Super Bowl. Astros, say wait, like he is just a diehard fan. I'm like, this man will never cheat on me because he is loyal to a fault. It doesn't matter.
They did do okay yesterday, I think.
They did, yes, they won, which was a divisional game. So that was good. But
maybe he knows something.
Maybe he knows something. So I'm like, even with the Rockets, like if the Rockets were like in last, like it wouldn't matter. He would probably still put a bet on them to like win the whole thing. Cause like, that's just how he is.
It's a good man to have on your team.
I know. I know. Yeah. We keep joking. So, we're having a baby and, she's due February 10th. Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl this year is yes. February 9th. Yes. And so we keep,
you're going to need to
joking.
Figure that out.
He said she's going to come right in the middle of the Super Bowl. And I was like, and if she does, you will not be watching.
You bring the chips and dip and you go.
I know. He's like, the Texans are going to be in it too. They're going to win this year. And she's going to come right in the middle of the game. Like, and you can watch a recording later.
Yep. Yep. Tell your friends not to spoil it for you.
Yes. And she will not, we will not change her name to CJ Stroud. So just putting that out there right now. Anyway. Yeah. So it was kind of fun to see because we're big sports people. So just even like to see that, because mm-hmm. that's something I think Sean would have put in. It was something with the Longhorns or something with the Texans. And anyway, right. So yep. fun.
It was
so fun.
That was the only thing like that.
It really
I mean,
was.
It was, there wasn't anything else sports related or, really even Texas.
Yeah. You know,
that's like, surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, it was interesting. Like a lot of, yeah. definitely a lot of like newspaper clippings, magazines, mm-hmm. those types of things, which, probably were more local.
Yeah. Something. There was actually a well-preserved copy of, a Westwood class newspaper that they had published and produced, which was pretty cool. We were able to save quite a few of the paper pieces That's let awesome. Them dry out and do that. So, but that was one of the things that we saw as a Westwood newspaper.
No. Well, I will say, cause I saw one question, I responded to it on, our Friends What I See Facebook page, mm-hmm. where someone was asking, okay, like where are all these items mm-hmm. going now? And from my understanding, what can be preserved is going to the Friendswood Schools Museum.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So, yes. If you are interested, if you missed mm-hmm. it and you want to see those things, I don't know how long it's going to take them to get that exhibit together. I'm mm-hmm. sure we can promote that whenever it does happen.
Absolutely.
But they will be available for public viewing. Yeah. At some point. Yeah. Super cool.
Yep. We let a lot of stuff dry outside over the rest of the weekend, and Ms. Pat picked him up this morning and is going to start cataloging and going from there. So yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad that they were able to, dry save out pretty something. Decently. Yeah.
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 We were able to save a good portion of what was in there.
Awesome. So, yeah.
Do you think that with the success of this time capsule that y'all would make another one for the next 30 years or?
That is actually a really cool idea. And celebration of the time capsule piece is got my little brain thinking about some of those kinds of things, which would be pretty cool. Miss Quigley, one of our first grade teachers, does a first grade time capsule with her class every single year. And then whenever they're seniors, they come back and open up their time capsule together.
I love that.
Which is a pretty cool thing. So, but to do a school-wide thing would be kind of a neat thing too. So
if there's a 2024 one, I think there definitely needs to be an Astro something put in there.
Of course. Yes.
Not just the Rockets.
Yes. No, for sure.
So, really being able to see some of these things and like, of course they're insights into like the personal interests of the kids, mm-hmm. but it's also a little insight into the state of education 30 yeah. years ago. Yeah. So, just reflecting on that, what does education look like today? Like how has it changed?
Wow. You know, probably quite a bit. It was interesting to see what they had put in because they did have lots of like educational magazines yes. and things like that, which of course we don't really use anymore.
Mm-hmm. Put an iPad in
there. Lots of online resources.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think it's probably changed quite a bit. If we think about what it was like whenever we were in elementary school and what that education look like versus what it looks like now. So yeah, very, very different, I think.
And I think it's a really unique opportunity to like reflect on that, mm-hmm. right? Because those were things that were so relevant to the time, mm-hmm. but just like the evolution of technology alone, right? Like,
yes.
Like, can you imagine if we were unwilling as educators to change or evolve at all with what we do? Because if we were still working off cassette tapes or, mm-hmm. you can't do that, right? Like there's necessary change that has to occur.
Absolutely.
In order to best prepare our kids for a future that we don't even fully understand. Mm-hmm. But if you had to choose, let's say, three items that would represent Westwood Elementary today.
Oh gosh.
What are like the first three things that come to mind?
Oh man, that's a hard one.
I know. I just came up with it. I'm brilliant.
Didn't even give me any warning on it.
I'm sorry. No.
Oh gosh. Okay. Things that represent Westwood. You know, I would say, and I would think, you know, recording devices are always going to be obsolete, like the VHS yes. recordings that were in there. But for some way to preserve our kiddos singing their school song, which yes. we do every single Friday in a Friday morning meeting, I think would be a really cool thing to do because it is the spirit of Westwood, right? Yep. And everybody knows it and sings it out loud and out proud. I think that's one thing that would need to go in there. Oh gosh.
What so y'all else? Do, I don't know what all it entails, but y'all have a new practice of the walk to learn.
We do.
Is there be a way to capture that? Well, first of all, tell everyone what that is. And like, is there a way to capture that?
That's a good question. I don't know how we would capture that. So walk to learn is, an idea, an instructional practice that we're doing, because we believe that every single kid, deserves to get exactly what they need. And whenever we have balanced classes, we have kids who, you know, in all different levels of development in their academic careers, right, or in their learning. And so that's sometimes a little bit difficult on one teacher to meet the needs of every single student in her classroom of 22 or 23 kids every single day. And we believe that they should get that every single day. And so every morning, Monday through Thursday, our kiddos walk to learn. So the grade level teachers look at data and think about their kiddos as people, and then they divide them up based on what they need. So if a kiddo has some significant gaps, they're in a group that is of kids that also have that same gap. If they're in a group that is right on grade level and just needs a little bit of reteaching and repeat of things, or an extension group of kiddos who are above grade level and really need to be challenged and pushed. And so they look at these kiddos and they group them, and then they decide which group that they feel that they are going to make the most impact with. And they choose, they take that group of kiddos for 45 minutes Monday through Thursday and target their specific needs. So we have some kiddos who are getting some very intense intervention to close some gaps, and we're seeing great growth in those kiddos. Some kids are doing some challenge activities. I know that a second grade challenge group is about to start book clubs, and they're not necessarily all reading the same book. They're reading books that have a similar theme or something like that. And then their challenge is going to be to figure out who they belong with and why they belong with them, based on their book selection and things like that. So it's a really cool thing we're doing at kindergarten, first and second grade. And they really do just walk to learn.
It's awesome.
8:15, kids start scattering. Like,
bloop, bloop, it's definitely more individualized for sure.
Very much so. Yes. Yeah,
which I think is so important. I think that's definitely the direction we've been moving in and have seen positive impacts with. So commend y'all on that. Yeah. Well, and you know, like maybe if you do a time capsule, you got two people here who could help capture.
Yes, you could.
So you could just call on us.
I could call on you guys to do that.
We can come in and help. Yes. I'm just throwing out the the service there.
Yes.
Especially because, like, who knows how they're going to learn 30 years from now? You know, there could be 10 different like eras of different kinds of learning in between then.
Yeah.
Maybe they're learning with VR or who knows?
Things we probably can't even imagine, honestly. It's probably things we can't even imagine.
Holograms and who knows? I don't even know.
Oh, gosh.
Well, so what did you, like, what was the response you got overall from the community? Like, it seemed very supportive overall, like excitement.
And yeah, for sure.
A little more buzz probably than I even expected on like social media, which was cool.
Yeah, that, you know, I wasn't quite sure what to expect whenever we were planning that, the opening ceremony.
Yes.
We call it an opening ceremony, like it's the Olympics, a time capsule opening celebration. And I wasn't quite sure what to expect. Like we were thinking that maybe just a few people would be coming. But then whenever the gates opened and we had just people streaming in, I was like, all righty then. And some of them were there specifically for their kiddos, you know, showing off their skills.
Yes.
But most of them stayed around and watched the time capsule opening. And we had some families who were there specifically because they remember coming to Westwood around that time, whether they were part of the group that buried the time capsule or not. They hung around to see what was in there because they remembered it happening. And so it was a really, I've gotten lots of good feedback on the opening and how that worked. And
y'all did a beautiful job. And I even thought it was super sweet. So there were several former Westwood teachers who attended as well.
Yes.
And, your partner in crime, Miss Angie Requart, who played a big part in helping organize all of this.
Yes, she did.
She, had actually offered up a tour to those teachers of the school. And so they went to go see just again, how things have maybe changed since they were there. I thought that was so, so sweet.
Yeah, it was really great. Teresa Waltenbaugh, who was one of the teachers who was there at that time. And she, is amazing and subs in our building often. Was in contact with several of them. We had asked her if she would be willing to contact them. And so she said, let me see who I can get together. And, So yeah, it was great. And they did, they took a long tour of the building and checked out all the things. And yeah, they were like, oh, I remember this and this wasn't here. And it was a really sweet tour.
I feel like the OLC alone would be, I'm sure that wasn't there, you know, 30 years ago.
I mean, that was a few years ago. I think that was opened.
It was, from my understanding, more of kind of like a preserve area. So there were a lot more trees. It wasn't necessarily a play space or a learning space, but it was more of an outdoor, atrium is not the right word, but you know, big, just treed
nature
space. So they did remember that space out there. It just had changed a whole lot since they had been there.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. And just again, context, if you don't know anything about the Outdoor Learning Center, like I said, it is my favorite place in this entire district, but it kind of gets kids into a little bit more of the rugged again. Like, so they're outdoors. They have they can build things. They have little wheelbarrows. They have a stage to perform. It's very hands-on and they're learning and their minds are being expanded and they don't even realize it. And we actually just had last week on Friday, our specialized classes K through five, all campuses came to the OLC for a specialized classes day.
Yeah.
And that was so, so sweet to be a part of and to see.
Yeah. They call it a field trip to the OLC, which is super fun. And they, it's great.
I love it. I love it. Well, y'all do fantastic things for sure at Westwood. And we're so blessed too for your leadership and taking this on. Cause we know it's like kind of a lot of pressure. Y'all had no idea what you were going to get when you opened that up. You didn't know if you could even potentially get into it at first. So you had to make sure that was going to be a thing.
Was there like a key? It was a combination?
So they had buried just that big PVC pipe in the ground. And then it had actually been removed from the ground a few years later and then encased in a wooden holder, if you will, like a stand, which had been in the museum for quite some time.
Yes.
And so before the ceremony, we actually had our maintenance department cut the wood off so that we could actually get to the time capsule. And then they loosened one of the caps so that we weren't trying to open it and not be able to get into it. So,
and dumped some of the water
they dumped
too.
Quite a bit of the water out. Yes. Yeah.
So. But it was great. No, and we just, like, again, had such a wonderful time. And I think it was such a look back on the past, a reflection too on where we are today. Mm-hmm. Just that things were amazing then, things are amazing now. And like, kids are at the heart of things. Like, kids are always just going to be kids. And so it's so fascinating to have insight into their minds at the time. Yeah, so, but we enjoyed it. And thank you so much, I think, for coming on and talking about what was there and a little bit about our history. We are celebrating 85 years this year. Mm-hmm. So what a fitting time to open a piece of history.
Yeah, it was very cool.
It was super cool. But thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And have a great day.
Thanks.